Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Soil Podcast, where the Word of God meets ears, minds, and hearts, and by His grace grows a great harvest. I'm Aaron Fesmeyer, pastor of York Evangelical Free Church, right here at the crossroads of the Midwest, York, Nebraska. I am grateful that you've joined me today. As we begin today, I want to pose a question. Can truth and love be in the same sentence? No, not the what's true for you kind of truth, but the objective reality that exists apart from your believing it or not. And no, not the love is a feeling or affirming whatever you think is true about you kind of love, but the objective reality of sacrificial affection of God for us. Can those coexist? Can the truth and the love coexist? Are they real? We begin today a series of three letters written by the beloved apostle. So today, I want to welcome you to the first letter of John. And as we get into the content of the letter, let me briefly recap on who John is. John was a fisherman in Galilee, where Jesus grew up, the son of a man named Zebedee. John was one of the first disciples that Jesus called. And he is referred to in the gospel, according to John, which he wrote, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was witness to Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension, and he was one who, like Peter, who we talked about, was given apostolic authority to lead and shepherd the fledgling church as the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. Later in life, he became an overseer of likely the local church at Ephesus, though he regularly traveled around in a circuit to other churches in the region to invest in them and strengthen them. So, you can guess, given that background, that John has some pastoral intentions in writing this letter. As the first century rolled along after Jesus' ascension, forms of what might be considered proto-Gnosticism, don't be intimidated by that term, but proto-Gnosticism began arising, and what this taught was the false teaching that Jesus, the Son of God, had not actually come in a body, that is, the flesh. And there were various explanations given of what it was that came, or what it was appeared, but basically it was an over-spiritualization, as earthly, fleshly existence, our bodies, was not considered the philosophical or religious ideal in the Greco-Roman world. So with its rise in popularity, this proto-Gnosticism, as well as the existing pagan structures and continued persecutions of Christians, many in the church in that time felt a level of instability about their own faith. Was it the real deal? Did Christ really come in the flesh? Was there assurance of one's eternal life? So John writes this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That's how John begins this letter. In the face of a world of deceptive ideas, God's children can be assured in their belief in God's Son come in the flesh, knowing that they have eternal life in Him. So how does John flesh this out? I'll give you two ways. First, he fleshes it out with love. Huge sections, lots of sections of 1 John are devoted to unpacking love, both as a horizontal expression of affection and care for those in the church, the love one another's kind of love, and as a vertical foundation received and given by God. John contrasts this kind of love with two types. One is the type of person who hates his brother, and one is also a spirit that's underneath that hatred of brother, what he calls the spirit of Antichrist. But John wants, instead of us going after the hatred of one's brother or the spirit of Antichrist, following those. No, he wants us to abide and walk in the light and obey. And those ideas are all tied with love in this letter. But where do we get the picture, the right picture of love? This is the second fleshing John's intent out. Where do we get that picture? From God himself. In chapter 4, verses 7 through 19, John presents a rich theological ground upon which our love for others can stand and from which it springs. As God is the source, initiator, and bestower of love, we are able, being born again, to love our brother and sister. You know, John, 1 John is richly practical, but all of his instruction, his encouragement, and his warning are founded upon the nature of God himself, the triune God, God the Father, Jesus the Son in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit. God in 1 John is the Father of the incarnated Son. He is light. He is love. He is Jesus. Jesus is the true Christ, born of God. God is invisible, yet visible in Christ as that which was from the beginning, the Word of life made manifest. And because of that, he is knowable. He is righteous. He is life. Theologian A.W. Tozer's words are still true in our day, and he wrote this: "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God." So for us who have the true, real God, the church is ever in need of a purer and higher vision of her Lord, King, and Savior from the Scriptures, the one who became flesh and dwelt among us, as John's Gospel says. So in this letter, John answers the question, can love and truth coexist? Are they real? You bet they can, and you bet they are. Jesus, God in the flesh, is the embodiment of truth and love. So I encourage you, jump into this letter and be strengthened in your knowing and your hope. As we start this book, let me pray for us as we receive God's word in the first letter of John. Father in heaven, help us to see and know your beloved Son. Teach us to love you, to love one another, to love others with your love. Please grant us to know the truth in love, not to be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. Please do these things by your Holy Spirit lifting up your Son to us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Good Soil Podcast. I'm enjoying reading the Bible with you. Let me encourage you to keep reading. His voice is worth hearing. Until I talk with you next, may God reap a great harvest in our midst as his word grows in good soil.